Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon, and yes, today is March 5th, Super Tuesday, and if you live in the state of California, the polls have just closed their doors, and if you're on the East Coast, they've been shut down, and trust and believe we will have a show about Super Tuesday and the way votes went on March 8th. When I am joined by my good friend, Ms. Aja, Ms. Brett, 2381, and we will give you the complete lowdown. Those of you who made it to the polls tonight, I salute you. Those of you who need to get it together so you can get to them polls and do what you need to do in November, make sure you make it happen. Once again, this is West Side Visions on Blog Talk Radio. I am Brother Tony Bullock. Thank you for dropping in on this Super Tuesday night. Tonight, I'm going to talk about a few other things, like 45 remaining on the ballot in Colorado and everywhere else, now that the Supreme Court stood up and said that Colorado had no right to remove him from the ballot. Basically, 45 Biden paid for Supreme Court did exactly what he put him there to do, which is move the goalpost and allow him to come in and play when he wants to, regardless of what crimes he's committed, what sins he's committed, what dirt he has done to the United States of America. Not only the country, but the people. And somehow, this orange clown keeps getting a pass. And that's because people behind him had foresight to stuff the courts for him. And this is why he gets away with the foolishness and devilment that he gets away with. He has sabotaged American justice as much as he screams about it being unfair. It's unfair to everyone else, that he can commit crimes and still do the dirt he's allowed to do. So, Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who split from the conservative majority's reasoning in 45's ballot case, but then she decided to attack the three liberal justices with some very uninviting terms. Now, the court ruled that states cannot disqualify a presidential candidate under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, also known as the Insurrection Clause, and only Congress can enforce that provision. See, this is how they got around it. They say, sure, we have the Insurrection Clause, but the only people that can use it is Congress. Now, Barrett pushed back on her conservative colleagues for breaking significant and, in her mind, unnecessary ground in the breadth of their legal reasoning. But then she admonished the court's three liberal justices who also split from the majority legal rationale by writing, "This is not the time to amplify disagreement with stringency. The court has settled a politically charged issue, and in a volatile season of presidential election, particularly in this circumstance," writing that the court should turn the national temperature down, not up. Now, her concurrence appeared to suggest that the liberal justices highlighted disagreement over the ruling's rationale. All nine justices agreed on the outcome of this case, she wrote. That is the message America should be taking home. Now, She said that the liberals are the type that would like to speak to the manager over the rude service that they received. But her opinion, which was joined by no other justice, had the effect of highlighting the tensions between ideological factions and the power of a conservative majority rather than neutralizing them, which is true. Anybody with common sense knows every one of those conservative justices are there to do 45's bidding and the rest of the Republican Party. That is how they get down. That's how they will always get down. And this being a lifetime appointment, until they take their last breath, they will continue to do dirt for the Republican Party. Now, they said we cannot join an opinion that decides momentous and difficult issues unnecessarily. That's what the liberals said. The majority is left with no one to support for its requirement that a Section 3 disqualification can only pursuant to the legalization enacted for that purpose. Now, Barrett agreed that the majority did not need to address the complicated question whether federal legislation is the executive vehicle through which Section 3 can be enforced. But, you know, he noted that Barrett also appeared to take a page from Chief Justice Roberts. It has become a disturbing feature for some recent opinions to criticize the decisions which they disagree as going beyond the proper role of the judiciary. Roberts wrote last year warning that misperception of the court split would be harmful to the institution and the country. You want to know what's harmful to the Supreme Court of the United States? The fact that they no longer stand for justice for everyone in America and have decided to throw their hats in the ring and care of 45 and the Republican Party. And that in itself is a sin and a shame. Now, one of the underlying rules in the ruling was that the Supreme Court really didn't ask any questions about the underlying fact of the case, which was the insurrection. In one sense, that's because they probably knew in advance they weren't going to say anything about it. But on the other hand, it does leave all of those lower court findings in place. So it's still true that a state court in Colorado found that 45 engaged in insurrection. And the week at that of April 22nd, we may get some similar timeline because there's a case coming up May 17th, which is important because that May course will get a Supreme Court still leave time for a criminal trial before the November election. And if they start dragging their feet, then it's not because they don't have the ability to act quickly, it's because they want to support and defend 45. You know, people coming into Super Tuesday kept asking why Nikki Haley stayed in the race. Speaking for myself, Nikki Haley staying in this race because Nikki Haley feels somewhere in her heart that 45 just may catch a case that may derail him running for president. And if that happens, she hopes to be the one they turn to, the one that they call on, hoping that should 45 catch a case and can't run, that someone says, oh, please, Nikki, step to the plate for the party. Come save us. And we must admit, even though she is thoroughly getting trounced, there are a few bright spots for her. If you watched election return results tonight, you know that she pulled the biggest upset of her campaign life tonight when she won the state of Vermont over 45. And to keep it real, some cat named Jason Palmer won the Democratic caucus down in America, Samoa, over Joe Biden by 11 points. Who is Joe Palmer, you may ask, some guy that no one has really heard of? I get the feeling that he's either a tech entrepreneurial guy or one of those guys with big money that he's been in America, Samoa, throwing around. And that is how he is so prominent. But tonight's show won't be a long one. You know, we're just going to kind of go over some things and just see what the hell is going on. Down in Florida, federal appeals court upheld a lower court's ruling that part of the Florida's anti-woke law infringes on the free speech rights of employers. That's right. That bill that Ron DeSantis signed into law, is getting its behind whooped. The Fed said that the government cannot favor some viewpoints over others without inviting First Amendment scrutiny. That's what the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals said in its ruling Monday. The Individual Freedom Act, better known as the Stop Woke Act, was one of several bills Republican Governor Ron DeSantis signed in 2022 as part of his war on woke ideology. It was intended to prevent teachings or mandatory workplace activities that suggest a person is privileged or oppressed based necessarily on their race, color, sex, or national origin. Basically, that breaks down to, this is an attack on you Negroes, and we're going to keep you in place here in Florida. You're going to do what you're supposed to do when we tell you to do it. Now, the ideas targeted in Florida's Individual Freedom Act are embraced in some communities and despised in others. The ruling said, by limiting its restrictions to a list of ideas designated as offensive, the act targets speech based on its content and barring only speech that endorses any of those ideas, it penalizes certain viewpoints, the greatest First Amendment sin. And of course, DeSantis was reached out for a comment, and of course, so far, you get none from him. Speech codes have no place in American society, and elected officials have no business censoring the speech of business owners simply because they do not agree with what's being expressed. This came from Shalini Goel Agarwal, Counsel for Protect Democracy, which represents businesses who filed lawsuits challenging the law. The challenge was brought by two Florida-based employers who wanted to require diversity and inclusion training for staff and a consultant. A federal judge blocked enforcement of portions of the law dealing with corporate training in August 22, saying it discriminated on the basis of viewpoint, a violation of the First Amendment, and is impermissibly vague in violation of the 14th Amendment. So that's what went down with that. And they definitely, I can guarantee you this, they will definitely try to find a way to work around that. And since we are talking about states, the Kentucky State Senate passed a bill to grant the right to collect child support for unborn children. That's right. You heard it here. The Republican-led Kentucky Senate voted overwhelmingly today to grant the right to collect child support for unborn children, advancing a bill that garnered bipartisan support. The measure would allow a parent to seek child support up to a year after giving birth to retroactively cover pregnancy expenses. This legislation, known as Senate Bill 110, won passage on a 36-2 vote with little discussion to advance to the House. Republicans have a supermajority in both chambers in that state. Now, Republican Senator Whitney Westerfield said afterward that the broad support reflects a recognition that pregnancy carries with it an obligation for the other parent to help cover expenses incurred during those 9 months. Westerfield is also a staunch abortion opponent and sponsor of the bill. He says he believes that life begins at conception. Westerfield said while presenting this measure to his colleagues, but even if you don't, there's no question there are obligations and costs involved with having a child before that child is born. The measure sets a strict time limit, allowing a parent to retroactively seek child support for pregnancy expenses up to a year after giving birth. So if there's not a child support order until the child's 8, this isn't going to apply. That was one of the things he brought up. Even at a year and a day, this doesn't apply. It's only for orders that are placed within a year of the child's birth. So basically he is saying you have a year. If you don't get it done then you can't do it. You know, you can't put that into play. Now, some people will look at this and say, okay, they're taking it a bit too far. But then again, you have to look at how they're doing IVF and realize this was going to be the next step in the evolution of what's going down in these state-run houses. And who knows what's going to hit next? No one has an idea what's going to hit next. It seems like every day they come up with something different. And the more you look at it, the more you shake your head trying to figure out what happened to the government that I once knew. Why are they taking it to such extremes? Well, they take it to extremes because they have elected so many people on that Republican side to offices that have no clue what they're doing. They skipped civics. They didn't pay attention to what was going on. And they have just gotten brick stupid. Other news today. Senator Kyrsten Sinema, who was a Democrat but is now an independent out of Arizona, announced that she will retire from the Senate rather than run for re-election after her party switch. And there were a lot of people who thought after her party switch that she would run as a Republican at some point, but she didn't do that. She left the Democratic Party, became an independent, started raising money as an independent. But I guess at this stage of the game, she didn't realize the writing is on the wall. So therefore, she says she's just going to retire from the Senate rather than run for reelection after the switch she made. She says, because I choose civility, understanding, listening, working together to get stuff done, I will leave the Senate at the end of the year. Compromise is a dirty word. We've arrived at that crossroad, and we chose anger and division. I believe in my approach, but it's not what America wants right now. She said she faced the prospect of a three-way race after her party switch, but her announcement on Monday paves the way for a likely matchup between Ruben Gallego and Carrie Lake. Remember Carrie Lake? She ran for governor down there in Arizona and was that failed gubernatorial candidate. Now, Sinema departs the Senate after just one term. In 2018, she became the first non-Republican to win an Arizona U.S. seat since 1994. She did play a key role as a top negotiator on the Inflation Reduction Act and the CHIPS and Science Act, but she faced unprecedented party backlash for backing the filibuster, which Republicans used to torpedo voting rights legislation and other key points and parts of the Biden administration domestic agenda. So, yeah, she knew the writing was on the wall, and she knew that lining up with all of her friends over there on the Republican side in the long run wasn't going to work for her. But yet, she wanted to play that role. She played that role and played that role all the way out. Now, a lot of people say she will probably go into, you know, doing one of these think tank roles, which I can see her doing. I see that happening with her. She, you know, she is that kind of person. So I'm quite sure she's going to find a way to stay relevant somewhere, somehow. Now, Alabama Supreme Court Justice Sarah Stewart, who concurred with the conservative court's controversial ruling equating frozen embryos with children, won the Republican primary Tuesday for state Supreme Court justice. She defeated former state Senator Brian Taylor, and this ballot race in Ruby Red, Alabama, took on increased importance because of this IVF ruling. That ruling prompted several IVF clinics in the state to halt their services, and it sparked broader concerns that anti-abortion rate lawmakers could go after the medical procedure elsewhere. The current Chief Justice, Tom Parker, wrote the majority decision, which drew heavily on theologically, and he even cited the book of Genesis. In the decision, he wrote that Alabama had adopted the logically based view of the sanctity of life, and that life cannot be wrongfully destroyed without incurring the wrath of God. That's right. Alabama decided to drag God into their stupidity and their madness. Now, while Tuesday's Republican primary had no results on the partisan makeup of the conservative court, all nine judges on the bench were either elected as Republicans or appointed by a Republican governor. The contest has further escalated the already significant attention on the Alabama Supreme Court in the weeks since that ruling. And the thing about it is, this is probably going to go nationwide because Texas is already making that noise down there. Texas is also starting to make that noise. Now, Greg Abbott has several other problems. One of them is still that raggedy grid he got down there that breaks down, doesn't hold up. But yet, he's still trying to play that game. So then he has the border issue that he made of his own, taking the Texas National Guard, sitting them down there, basically to attack brown folks and do his bidding. So I would say, Greg Hot Wheels Abbott, you're trying to take on way too much. And what's going to happen is, at the end of the day, it's probably going to end up biting you, buddy. So I would definitely bag up off of it. You know, the more we look at it, the more we say, how is it possible that we could even be heading back in this direction with 45 and Joe Biden going in for a rematch? But it's because the Republican Party, if you think about it, really did not put anybody out there to seriously challenge him. Now, Nikki Haley plays a good role at challenging him, but that's all it is, a role. Nikki Haley is still in 45's corner, even though every once in a while you'll hear her make a little quip, you'll hear her say some little things, but the truth of the matter is, it's smoke and mirrors. It is smoke and mirrors. I don't think she seriously wants to take anything on. Like I said, she had a big win tonight, and that was Vermont. But You know, you just got to take it for what it is. We have seen, for example, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the Republican House, made a deal to do this short-term legislation to keep the government running. And once again, he had to come to Democrats for help. Now, for all the noise that Republicans talk about governing, what they're doing, we're doing this, we're doing that, you're not doing anything. The only thing Republicans doing is coming up with all these nonsense investigations, stuff that don't make no sense. They are just determined to harass Hunter Biden every time you turn around. Why? Just because he's Joe Biden's son. And they ought to know by now, that's not going to be a problem. Joe Biden's not going to let that ruffle his feathers. And trust me, Hunter is holding his own. So that is something they really, really need to stop. Now, everybody sits back and says, you know, they're just doing 45 wrong. They're coming up with all these reasons to come after this man. No, they're not coming up with reasons to come after him. He's giving them reasons to come after him. Do you think if you was running for office and you had 91 indictments against you, that they would give you a pass? No, they would not. You wouldn't get it. Not going to help you. 45 has been doing stupid stuff ever since he was in the White House. And yes, he did some criminal things while in the White House. And you would think he had learned from that. But no, he keeps doing them time and time again. This man is a threat. And the fact that many of you out there want to support this guy, and I already know what all that's about, because like he says, he's doing for you what you can't do. Many of you know you can't openly attack black people. You can't openly attack brown people, Asian people. So you do it through proxy. You find an idiot who thinks because, you know, he was a reality TV star and he got a lot of you convinced that he's some super rich guy when he's actually a super broke guy living off paper here, there, and everywhere. He is the biggest con man you ever want to see. And it always amazes me when they go to these rallies and interview his followers. And they're talking about, oh, he's so godly. Oh, he's so intelligent. Really? Because an intelligent person wouldn't that have 91 indictments against them. So like I said, tonight's show is going to be a short one, because I have some more research to do for my Friday night show. Because trust me, it will be fire. So as always, say, each one reach one, teach one. Those of you proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range. Get them trained up. Get them registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. Once again, take care of your people. Make sure you get ready for this fight in November. If you haven't made it to a poll, haven't voted, make sure you do that in November, because democracy is on the line. So until this Friday, take care of one another. And trust and believe, this Friday, I'll holler.